But first, Wesley Stace, on his new novel, Charles Jesseld, considered as a murderer.
24th of June, 1923. A double murder, followed by the suicide of the perpetrator, has taken place in a cul-de-sac off Kensington High Street. Jealousy is the principal motive for the crime. The police were summoned at 2 o'clock yesterday morning, when witnesses at Cadogan Mansions were startled by the report of a revolver. Constable Williams, forcing the door open, found the body of the composer Charles Jesseld, aged 35 years, holding a blood-stained, five-chambered revolver, which he had discharged into his jaw. On the bed lay the bodies of his wife, mezzo-soprano Victoria London, and Edward Manville, a married man. The Jesseld's two-month-old baby was found awake in his crib.
That's Wesley Stace reading the opening of his new novel, Charles Jesseld, considered as a murderer. Novelist Stace leads a double life. He's also the singer-songwriter John Wesley Harding. His new novel is the first to be specifically about music. Stace told Anne Strangechamps about his inspiration for the book.
I saw a Werner Herzog documentary about Gesualdo, this composer in the Renaissance who murdered his wife and her lover. With a Herzog documentary, you can't tell how much is fact and fiction. I loved it. I immediately went and kind of tried to find out the facts, and they're extremely as startling as Herzog could have possibly made them up, you know. And I suddenly thought, I want to write a novel about that, but I didn't want to write a novel that was, you know, period novel to that time in history set in Italy. So I thought, oh, I'll have a modern composer. And these two ideas kind of artist-critic codependency and also an artist who murders his wife and her lover. Those two things became entwined for me.
So anyway, we've got this very promising beginning here. Adultery, a revenge killing, and a suicide, a famous composer, an aborted musical performance. It sounds like the stuff of melodrama.
Well, yeah, it is. I tried to structure the novel in a rather operatic way, so it has kind of acts. And what happens is Leslie Shepherd, my rather buttoned-up ideologue critic, tells the story to the police as it happened, and then he kind of revisits it from a more personal perspective. It's a classic novel structure to look at the same events from a different point of view. And the novel is called Charles Jesseld, Considered as a Murderer. And the point is, if he were considered another way, would his art mean something different? And I think there's a way in which the novel, in a sense, is a critique of the kind of biographical approach to criticism, which I see in rock music writing a lot, where people say, oh, Bob Dylan had a heart attack, therefore his next album was all about death. You know, and you can tell that he had this heart attack. And it's like, all his albums are about death, you know, but that's a way that criticism works. And I think there are pitfalls in that. And so if you want to take a piece of art and use it as your text, you can approach that in a number of ways. And people's biographies and lives of the authors, the creators of it, can lead you up blind alleys and garden paths. And that's kind of what the book's about.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherd and Jesseld, the critic and the composer, discover, as was completely normal at the time, a folk song in the field. It's a time when nations were just about to go to war and were rediscovering their own national music. It's a very rich time for English music, particularly because at the time, England's favourite composers were Wagner, Strauss, Mendelssohn, and Handel, you know, and they're all German. And England's just about to go to war with Germany, so England wants to find its own national music. And as many other nations had before it, the composers turned to the folk songs to find the kind of national heritage of melody. And that was the milieu that I chose to set this in, because it seemed a very rich time musically and culturally. And so it starts off with them finding this folk song. And the folk song is Little Musgrave, a song that I've recorded myself because I love it. And it's an incredible, great song, one of the greatest of the folk ballads.
So what is this ballad?
Now, a lot of ballads, what happens is, they're rather mysterious because one always seems to end up in the fifth act of them, as though everything's already happened and you come in at the climax. Little Musgrave is quite unique, and it's known to rock music fans as Matty Groves by Fairport Convention, which I believe is an American version of it. But it's quite unique in that you get the whole three or five act tragedy, as it were, and it's about Little Musgrave, a young man who gets the glad eye from Lady Barnard while her husband's off hunting. And the Lord is told, And he comes back. Well, I'm going to read it to you because I've written it down. And I've written it down so carefully that it seems a shame to be fumbling through. Here we go. Here we go. To scholars, the ballad is known simply as Child 81, after its numerical designation in Francis James Child's monumental collection. The basic story has the tragic pull, typical of the big ballad. The Lord is hunting, his lady seduces a young man. A page runs to alert the Lord, who returns to confront the lovers in bed. He slays them both. That is all. So slowly he rose up, and slowly he put on. And slowly down the stairs he goes, thinking to be slain. And the first stroke little Musgrave took, it was both deep and sore. And down he fell at Bonnet's feet, and word he never spoke more. And how do you like his cheeks, lady? Yeah, how do you like his chin? And how do you like his fair body? Now there's no life within. Oh, it's well I like his cheek, she said, well I like his chin. Better I like his fair body than all your kith and kin. And he's taken up his long, long sword to strike a mortal blow. And through the lady's heart, the cold steel it did go. As it fell out upon a day as many in the year, Musgrave to the church did go to see fair ladies there.
Do you think you write like a composer in some ways?
You know, there's a very, very honourable tradition of fictional literary composers, you know, all the way from rather dull ones like Jean-Christophe by Romain Rolland, and then Adrian Levacoon in Thomas Mann, and Proust's composer Vinteuil, of course, who's central to that big book, and plenty of recent ones. David Mitchell just wrote about one. Ishiguro did one too. And I think what I learned from reading some of those books is that sometimes the composers just become symbols for the artist in the novelist's mind. And I wanted to make Jessel very specifically a composer that was a believable one and a recognisable one to me. And I know that a lot of artistic creation, as you do and lots of everybody else does, is haphazard and not as well planned as critics would have us believe, and that things turn on the slightest and most dubious is of arrival of the gentleman from Porlock or whatever it is, you know, so these odd things just feed into our what we do. So I'd say, in fact, that I really wanted him to be as believable a composer as I am a composer. And so a lot of the things that I go through when writing and creating, I kind of put on him, and I would hope that would make him realistic. I certainly did want to make him into a very fully fleshed out human being.
I'm curious what that means if you're going to create a character who's a composer and you want him to be very realistic. What are the possible pitfalls, or what do you think are mistakes that other writers may have made in trying to create characters who were composers?
Well, I think some writers haven't described the music enough. I don't think you have to tell readers very much, but I think they want a very specific idea in their heads of what the artistic creations sound like. You couldn't write a movie, say, about a comedian and have none of his material in that movie. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you have to kind of write it in your head. And I did find myself, I mean, I'm no great music theorist, but I did find myself humming melodies that I found to be Jessoldian melodies. In fact, you know, my friend Daniel Felsenfeld, who's a composer in New York, he did me the great honor of taking on the mantle of kind of being Charles Jessel and setting one of these pieces of that Jessel set in the book to real music.
I wanted to ask you about that, because here is this song, five-song suite, in the style of Charles Jessel, which really makes him seem very real.
Yeah, to be totally clear, this is the music of Daniel Felsenfeld. It's not him writing what he just wrote the music as beautifully as he could. I just think I picked the right guy because I think the approach is how I imagine Jessel's might well have sounded.
Connoisseurs of me.
one of the subjects that you take on in the novel is questions of musical taste and what happens when a new musical revolution, new style appears and how complicated its reception is, both from critics and from audiences. I was thinking about that tumultuous time in music history, the beginning of the avant-garde in music. That is still a form of music that audiences have a hard time accepting. I think perhaps people accept avant-garde painting more than they do avant-garde music.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I have no doubt at all that you're right. I mean, my Shepherd, it might be a tough bit to find in the book, but okay, here we go. This is Shepherd being taken by Gessold to hear Schoenberg, who Shepherd is bound to detest. Schoenberg's Austrian, but he speaks German, and that's bad news to begin with. And then there's the music, and he's listening to it. In the maelstrom, I glimpsed Schoenberg's intent. I understood the perverse aesthetic behind his intellectual conclusions. The poles of tonality and atonality were reversed. This was the triumph of theory over practice, abstraction over depiction, of cold intellectual thought over the urge to give pleasure. It was the end of music as I could possibly know or describe it. To see this progression towards atrocity dramatized before me was too much. The last movement was inhumane, even to the very performers in front of our eyes. It was the murder of the human song. Surprised when the quartet reached the final chord together, I found that I had been holding my breath, for how long I do not know, in anticipation. I gasped and inhaled in relief, unable to believe this was truly the end, vaguely disappointed with the final resolution on an F-sharp triad. Lasting but 10 minutes, the final movement had seemed an eternity.
Wesley Stace is the author of Charles Gessold, Considered as a Murderer. He spoke with Anne Strangechamps. To hear more of that music we were talking about, you'll find a link on our website, ttbook.org.